Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us on this Monday afternoon, Monday evening, Tuesday morning, wherever you are. It feels great to get started with another work week here and get to do another week of Catholic Answers Live. We've got two great guests, but one great topic today. Why aren't you Catholic? That's what we're asking you. Why aren't you Catholic? So if you're not a Catholic, today is the day to call 888-318-7884 and tell us. Maybe the answer is, I never thought of being Catholic. Maybe the answer is, I used to be Catholic, but now I, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is, 888-318-7884. Maybe there's something you disagree with that the Catholic Church teaches. Maybe there's just something that you, or you've just never felt an attraction to the Catholic Church. Whatever the reason, we'd love to talk to you about it. And we're going to try to talk you into the Catholic faith. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Second hour, Carlo Broussard will be here. First hour, we've got our own Trent Horn, apologist and writer extraordinaire, writer of many books, including Answering Atheism, Persuasive Pro-Life, Why We're Catholic, and a whole bunch more, including Made This Way, when we talked about last week with his co-author, Layla Miller. Hi, Trent Horn.
Hello, Cy.
Did you know that Layla was on with us last week?
I did not know that, but it's you were certainly blessed, I'm sure, to have her on. She is sharp as a tack and gets her point across just.
Oh, yes, she does. She gets her point across just and then freeze. All right, we'll get him back. Hang on. We got a little, there's a little glitch. A wire got shaken loose or something happened. We'll have Trent right back with us. Again, I want to invite you, if you're not Catholic, to call. Please do call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And you really are welcome here. You're welcome if you don't like the Catholic Church. You're welcome if you don't know anything about the Catholic Church. If you just want to talk with some Catholics and explain to us why you are not Catholic, we always find that those make for great conversations and great shows. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We got you back there, Trent? I think we have him back. No? Well, he's coming. Soon he will be here. While we're waiting for Trent, I will let you know Trent also has courses at the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics. Trent is a very well-known internet debater, has debated folks who don't believe in God, has debated folks who don't believe in the pro-life cause, and has debated fellow Christians who reject teachings of the Catholic Church. So you have a well-versed interlocutor here today. If you call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And if you're around the world, I'll check Facebook and YouTube during the course of the show and see if there are if there are folks who check in there to tell us why they are not Catholic. We're not trying to hide it. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'd love you to be Catholic as well. And there's a simple reason for that, why we think it's wonderful to be in the Catholic Church, why we invite everyone to come into the Catholic Church, is because we think it's the surest way to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, and the surest and fullest way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that number, 888-318-7884. I really miss Trent Horn. Can we get him back? I miss him.
I would like to think I'm here. Can you hear me, Cy?
Oh, I can hear you, Trent. It's magical. Oh, I can see you. It's all, everything's working again. Nice to see you and hear you again, Trent.
Oh, glad. Let's pray that I can stick around this time.
Yeah, really. I don't know. We got I'm not exactly sure where the glitch was, but we're always happy to have you. You yourself, by the way, another thing I did not mention to people, Trent, is a convert to the Catholic faith. How long have you been a Catholic now, Trent?
I've been a Catholic for over half my life since I turned 17. So I've been, back in 2002 is when I converted.
That means you're over 34 years old.
I am over 34 years old.
You're old.
I have reached the middle point of my life. I'm experiencing a feeling, I'm not sure what to call it. Crisis might be a way to describe it.
Like, really?
I've reached the middle and
I'm
paralyzed,
a sports car
with
yet?
Anxiety. Yeah, right?
No. Wait a second.
Only, like,
I don't think you have reached the middle. I mean, unless you define middle broadly, like how are they, people are going to, like you, people live to say, let's say, I don't know, your generation probably lived to like 90. I would think 90. So you're just barely out of the first third. You got almost two-thirds left.
That is a possibility, unless all the chemicals we put in our bodies are actually going to do a double whammy on us later in life. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you, no, I'm certainly not in a crisis. I am incredibly blessed by our Lord and Savior, wonderful wife, life, family, children, coworkers, and I get to talk to you about the Catholic faith on radio. That's super fun to do.
888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. One reason you might not be Catholic is you disagree with the moral teaching of the Catholic Church. Another, you might disagree with what the Church has to say about Jesus and what Jesus taught. Maybe the Bible bothers you. Maybe Catholic sacraments bothers you, whatever the reason. And again, as I said, maybe it's just something you've never thought about and you want to call and talk about it. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. And there are a few lines open, even as they process calls right now, a few lines open. Trent, I was saying we got to talk with your co-author, Layla Miller. She is a very fine author and speaker. But that one is all about moral issues. And it does seem to me that there's a kind of idea of moral advancement in the world today that the more that idea wins, the farther away people feel from the Catholic faith, because we just seem out of touch.
Yeah, people say that the Catholic faith is antiquated on certain issues. It's interesting, the people who say the Catholic faith is antiquated or outdated on things like contraception, homosexuality, divorce, many of these same people praise the Church's teachings on immigration, on climate, on economics, on the death penalty. So it's interesting that many of those people actually find a large majority of Catholic moral teaching they agree with. It's just when it comes to the issues of sexual ethics, primarily, as well as ethics related to human life, like abortion, which itself is kind of connected to sexual ethics. I've always said that if abortion had nothing to do with the sexual act, everybody would be pro-life.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. If it was just children grew in an artificial womb and you decided, tear my fetus apart, I don't want it anymore, people would be apoplectic.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely
right.
But
because things are related to sexuality, though, whenever sex is involved, I feel like rationality kind of goes out the window. But
That is the human condition. There's no question about that. I mean, we are irrational about sexual things. But I mean, it's also the case in something like the current transgender idea that you are what you feel you are. We don't accept that in any other area of life. And of course, people make jokes about that all the time. I mean, like, I identify as, that's become like almost like a meme, you know, like the...
Right. And it's sad, of course, anyone who suffers from gender dysphoria, but we should not engage that suffering they're enduring by, feeding into a self-identity that's incorrect any more than we would tell someone who's anorexic, you are obese and we will help you.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You lose the pound.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you. I think I lost that connection again for a second. Lots of folks on the line. 888-318-7884 is the number. But I have chatted right up to the break with Trent. So what we're going to do is take that break, and then we will get to the calls. There are two lines open. If you're not a Catholic, this hour and next are both for you. We welcome your call. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The World Over with Rima DeRoyo. Coverage as seen through a Catholic lens.
All people of faith and sincerity need to awaken to this and protect this fundamental right of religious liberty.
Expert analysis.
Does revelation judge history, or does history judge revelation?
Stories vital to people of faith.
It's part of our faith that comedy and tragedy naturally go hand in hand.
Delivered to your inbox every week. Sign up today. Go to EWTN.com/worldover.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I guess there's a lot of summer stuff going on where you get free shipping, and so we couldn't be left out of that. So we've got free shipping. We're offering free shipping through midnight tonight at shop.catholic.com on any purchase over $25. That's right, free shipping on all purchases over $25 at shop.catholic.com until midnight tonight. And that is midnight Hawaii time. Don't miss out. Visit shop.catholic.com today and save. Trent Horn, our guest. Trent, I think it's time to go to the phones. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Randy, listening in Colorado to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Randy, why aren't you Catholic?
How you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Very well. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. You guys are very knowledgeable. I love your show. I listen quite regularly. And I have three Catholic guys that Mitch Pacwa is one of them that I listen to a lot. And I listen to The Man That Does a Journey Home.
Oh.
And one other fellow.
Marcus Grody.
And Marcus Grody and David Anders.
They're good people.
And, yeah, I'll tell you what, it's like the three horsemen, I call them. You know, I don't have any disagreements with what the Catholic Church teaches on just about anything.
Well, come on in, Randy. Come on in. It's perfect timing.
Well, the thing of it is this. I've been to parishes more than one and gone in with friends. Sometimes just walked in and just watched. And it's very beautiful. It's what I like about it is the reverency.
Yes.
There's no one in there talking about a bake sale. You're in there praying. I like that.
Okay, hey, hang on, Randy. Randy, hang on just a quick sec. I agree with what the Catholic Church teaches, Dr. David Anders and Marcus Grody and Mitch Pacwa. I would love to go to Mass. It's beautiful. But there's got to be a but here, Randy, because you're not a Catholic.
The but is this. Every time I go to one, it doesn't seem like there's hardly any unity whatsoever. No one's standing shoulder to shoulder with each other in a friendly form. I found it to be very unfriendly every time I go in. And it's kind of tough because I came from a Pentecostal background.
Yeah.
And you know how Pentecostal folks are, you know, slap you on the back and do about anything else, but I found it
to be...
We
have sin staples. We understand.
and everybody just runs for the door. There's no... They don't even meet each other out in the parking lot. It's everybody runs to the car, and they're gone. And
yeah.
If there is anything going on after the Mass or anything, it's never announced, and you just wander around, and you try to talk to certain people, but it just seems so unfriendly, and lack of unity is what bothered me the most.
Okay, Randy, I'm going to let Trent respond, and we'll come back to you. Trent, what do you make of that?
Well, Randy, I think I've got a few different thoughts in my head. I'll just unspool them, and you can see what you think. First, I would say I wouldn't necessarily call that unfriendly, just that it's not super extroverted. Because I'm sure if you introduced yourself to someone who is at Mass, I'm sure they'd be polite and nice. They're just not, you know, they're not overly friendly. There's a difference between not being overly friendly and being unfriendly. Like, my wife is a little social butterfly. She says hi to everybody. You know, she invites people to everything. She keeps conversation going at a party. Me, I'm a bit more introverted. In fact, one of the things I kind of liked about the church when I went to it is because I had been to Protestant churches where, like, everybody comes up and says hi to me. And that was actually kind of overwhelming to me. I'm like, oh, you're getting in my personal space. I like just kind of entering into the mystery. So I would say that it's the difference here is not that I haven't been to a Catholic parish. People are just, like, mean. They're just not overly friendly. But number two and number three, so two more points. Number two would be that's two parishes. There's thousands of Catholic churches in the U.S. I've been to some that are like what you're describing. People go, they worship, they're at Mass, then they go home and they find community elsewhere. I've been to other churches where, like, everyone's gathering outside. My church is like this in Dallas. Kids run around. It's a bit smaller, but, you know, so different parishes have more community than others. You might just have had bad luck with two, but it's not unusual. So I think looking around, you can find parishes that have that feel. They might be smaller parishes, though. But number three, I think, is the most important part. Imagine you died, you go to heaven, and Jesus says, Randy, you knew this was the church I created. I was there every Sunday in the Eucharist for you. I came in bread and wine for you. Why weren't you there? If the answer is, well, people weren't super nice to me, I wouldn't want to be telling Jesus that if that's the reason I didn't go to receive him in the Eucharist. So those are some of my thoughts. I don't know what you think of that.
Well, I think you're spot on with some of it, but I always took the faith in Christ a little different. I don't know if I'm an ignorant man or not, if I'm not well educated, but this is a war. And standing shoulder to shoulder with our shields up and advancing on the enemy, I just don't see it. I don't see it in a lot of churches, to be truthful with you. And
sure.
That's
well, Randy,
what I'm talking
but here's
about.
The thing. But Randy, I would say, look, the thing you have to look for is when we try to figure out, is this the church Jesus Christ established? If that's our answer, we can't judge it based on, hey, how fired up are the people who are there? Because I've been to Mormon churches where the people are totally fired up. But I actually did an episode on my podcast today talking about how Mormonism is not Christian, even though they're super fired up people. So I would say that's not the right metric we're going to use. We have to say, look, is Jesus there on the altar? And is that priest in communion with the successor of St. Peter? Like that, I want to see, can this church be traced back, not by emotions, but traced back by its pedigree, back to Jesus and the apostles? So I hope that if you'll stay on the line, give our call screener your contact info. I'd like to send you Why We're Catholic and give it a read. And then feel free to call back, and we can have more of a chat about that. But I'm grateful you called in, and I appreciate where you're coming from.
Thanks, Randy. There's no question we could be friendlier. I mean,
absolutely.
That's a general problem. But I wonder sometimes too, especially among American evangelical Christians, if this impression and I want to get your take on this, Trent. That this impression of the Catholic Church as less unified, less fired up, is sometimes connected to the fact that the Catholic faith is not self-selecting. You know, so like your local evangelical church, everybody goes there because they like that preacher. They go there because they share certain traits with one another, and they share certain enthusiasms. And so it's a self-selecting group that is automatically like-minded. The Catholic Church is not that. The Catholic Church, it doesn't care what political party you are, doesn't care what kind of music you like, doesn't care what color your hair is. It's for everybody. That's what we say. It's for everybody. So
that's true, yeah. So I think a lot of parishes, the common denominator is geographic. Not always, but many people attend the parish because they live in that geographical boundary. And so you'll get just a wide cross-section of people who go. Many of them may go out of habit or tradition. We do have that a little bit in the Catholic faith, I would say. For example, they've done surveys of people who attend the traditional Latin Mass, for example. And so I would say that there are certain communities where you find people who are fired up, but usually that's because of that self-selected process you're describing. Yeah. So like a traditional Latin Mass parish, they'll do surveys like 99% support church teaching on contraception and abortion and the real presence of the Eucharist. And you take down all the marks. And then some people take that survey to say, see, the traditional Latin Mass leads to orthodoxy and the Novus Ordo doesn't. To which my response is, well, I think what's more likely happening here is that people who are really on fire for their Catholic faith tend to gravitate towards this particular liturgy and others. So if you want to find people, there are certain liturgies that when they're done with care and reverence and beauty, I think you will find the on fire people there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Randy. It was a great conversation. Thanks very much for the call. Why are you not Catholic? Why aren't you Catholic? We'd like to know. If you're not a Catholic, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We go now to Cincinnati, Ohio. Julian in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on AM 740. You are up next, Julian. Why aren't you Catholic?
Well, that's a long story. You will not have time to listen to that answer. But since I have a million and one questions, I will call once a week to get one question a week.
Okay.
So my question.
But wait, you won't be done for a million and one weeks then. So you, that is going to be a lot of waiting to get your questions answered.
Maybe I'll
I think we'll have to 20,000 years. Questions.
All right. All right. Well, it'll be.
Here's a question.
All right. Go ahead, Julian.
The question is, I hear on Catholic radio all the time that the Bible is a Catholic book. Personally, I am so offended by that, because when Jesus was here on earth, Jesus told his disciples and everybody that would listen to them to search the scriptures, for in them they testified of me. That's what Jesus said. And he was talking about the books of Moses. He referenced them to Isaiah. He talked about all the other prophets way before Catholic Church came around. So where did you get the idea that the Bible is a Catholic book?
Sure. Well, Julian, I have a question for you. Prior to his ascension into heaven, so before Jesus ascended into heaven, so during his ministry and then the 40 days he instructed the apostles after his resurrection, did Jesus command anyone to write anything down?
Jesus referenced all of the writings of the past up to his time, and he again pointed them back to the disciples.
Right. Well, but did he tell anyone to write anything down?
Not particularly, no.
Okay. So when we think of, like, okay, where did the Bible come from? We have these documents. Where did it come from? We can see right here, we can't just say Jesus, because everything we have that describes Jesus, he never tells anyone to write anything down or organize stuff later to be what we call the Bible. And the apostles never say that their writings will all be collected. Like, so the Bible never talks about the Bible is what everybody's going to follow. It doesn't really say that, right?
Well, Jesus thought that people should be following the scriptures, because he says in the scriptures,
he was talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament.
Right. But he also said that the scriptures were the ones that talked about him. And he said that they could find eternal life by reading the Old Testament scriptures. That's what
Jesus
said. Right,
but you would agree that a Christian couldn't just read the Old Testament. He's got to read the New Testament too.
I believe that the people of old, they had the Old Testament and they read that and they became the saints of old. They didn't have the New Testament.
Right, but here's where I'm concerned. Like, so when people say the Bible is a Catholic book, what we mean is that if you went back, I actually did a podcast episode recently on a really cool church father. His name's St. Ignatius of Antioch. He lived around the year, he died around the year 107 or 115 AD, around that time. And he was in the generation of the people who knew the apostles. And in his writings, he never talks about anything like a Bible. He never talks about, here's the writings we all follow. Instead, all he talks about is, follow the bishop as Jesus Christ follows the Father. And he says, if you go to a church that doesn't have a bishop, a priest, and a deacon, that's not a church. He says, where they are, that's where the bishop is. He says, that's where the Catholic Church is. And he sees the first writer use the word Catholic to describe the church. So for me, I think it makes sense to say the Bible is a Catholic book, because when you look at the history of the early church, you don't have people just with Bibles saying, oh, yeah, this is the written word of God that was given to us by the apostles. They recognize the word of God in writing, but not as one collection for them to follow. And there's disagreement in the early church about what belongs in the Bible, what doesn't. Some people say maybe Hebrews doesn't belong there, Revelation doesn't belong there. And it gets kind of hard to say, hey, what belongs in the New Testament, what doesn't? People disagreed. But then in the 4th century, after two regional councils and a letter from the Pope saying, hey, this is the canon of Scripture to reaffirm it, we find those disputes end pretty quickly after that. Not entirely, but pretty quickly and dramatically. So what I would recommend is you stay on the line, give our call screener your contact information, and I'd like to send you two books. My book, Why We're Catholic, cover a lot of those million and one questions you have. And then a book by my friend Jimmy Akin called The Bible is a Catholic Book. And I think that you would greatly benefit from that. And I would look forward to being sent to you. And if you have questions on him, feel free to call back.
Well, he's going to call back. He's going to call back one million more times. That
was
just
right.
One.
Well, yeah.
One million.
That's right. Can you get your calculator out on your computer? He had a million questions, one question a week. Is that 20,000 years? 50 weeks in a year about?
I think. Okay, I'm going to say yes. Yes, Trent. It's 20,000 years. I don't know.
Maybe. Hopefully we'll get them all done by then.
2,000 years would save you. I mean, two questions a week would save you 10,000 years. So maybe we should just go with two questions a week. Julian, we're really grateful for the call. I actually hope that you do call once a week because it's nice talking with you. We're asking folks, why aren't you Catholic today? And every line is full with somebody who wants to tell us why they're not Catholic. We'll come back and have those conversations with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
According to divine command, we should give God worship, but how do we know if we're doing it right? Is worship a form of self-help? To make me feel better? A form of social activism or even a commodity? Or is it something that transcends all of those? In Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth, Father Jeff Kirby cuts through the misguided modern notions about God and religion and takes you back to the foundation for true worship, God's revelation about himself. From his first contact with his chosen people to the culmination of his revelation in Jesus Christ, God shows us what religion is supposed to be like and how to make the practice of it a lifelong virtue in our lives. Order your copy of Real Religion by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Anna Mitchell here. Join us tomorrow for the Sunrise Morning Show when Stephanie Mann discusses St. John Fisher to celebrate the feast he shares with St. Thomas More. Plus Mike Aquilina on St. Paulinus of Nola because it's his feast too. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This hour we've got Trent with us. Next hour, Carlo will be here, but both hours the same topic. 2 hours for non-Catholics. If you're not a Catholic, perfect time to call and just tell us why you're not a Catholic, because we have found that creates some great conversations, and we love having those conversations with you. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Let me look how many lines are open. Well, one line open right now, so go ahead, give it a try, and we'll see if we can get you on the air with Trent. Let's go to Lawrence in Kansas City, Missouri. Lawrence, oh, he's watching on YouTube Live. Lawrence, why aren't you a Catholic? Lawrence?
Hi, Lawrence. Can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, yes, we hear you. Yeah, why aren't you a Catholic, Lawrence?
I'm not Catholic because I've been a Christian almost this year. I don't see the point in it.
All right.
I'm Christian. That's enough for me.
Okay, Trent, what do you make of that? He's Christian. Why be Catholic?
Okay, well, Lawrence, what do you mean by a Christian? Like, you mean like, hey, I believe Jesus is God and he rose from the dead?
I mean, I confess in my mouth Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead if I am saved and Christian.
Romans 10:9, very good. Have you done Romans 6, been baptized, buried with Christ, and risen with him?
I believe that.
Okay. How about John chapter 6? Unless you eat my flesh drink my blood, you have no life within me. Seems like, to me, I think Jesus is talking about the Eucharist and not just any bread and wine, but actually really believing that it's him. And for me, when I try to find a church that teaches that, there's only a few that do, like the Catholic and the Orthodox. I don't see that in the Protestant world. What do you think of that?
Okay. What I believe is that when Jesus said, all that the Father had given me will come to me, I believe that the Father gave me Jesus Christ, and I belong to him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Lawrence, it sounds like you became, so you think as a Christian, the most that you need to believe.
I got saved in 1976. I was 22 years old, and I was in jail.
Mm-hmm. How do you know what
I could describe
wants.
How it was if you want to hear it.
Well, I don't know if we have enough time on the show, but I'm sure it's really interesting to hear. How do you know what you need to believe as a Christian? Because I believe being a Christian is a good thing. I love my Protestant brothers and sisters that believe Jesus is Lord, believe that he's God in the flesh. But what if God wants us to believe in more than that? Like, let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus gave us a church?
Sure. The universal church.
How many churches did Jesus give us?
One. The universal church. Not just your church.
Okay, so he gave us one church. And can we trust that church?
Every blood-bought, still born again Christians is in that church. Whatever they call themselves.
Well, where do we find this church? Like, am I in that church?
You find a church in Christ.
Okay. But it sounds like everybody who says they're born again Christian, they believe different things though. Like, some of them think you can lose your salvation, some think you can't. Some think the Eucharist is a symbol. Some think it isn't. Like, if church just means everyone who's Christian, there's no one I can really go to find out what I'm supposed to believe, right? Because they all believe different things.
Well, all these things belong to the human condition, so I'm not surprised they believe this, that, and the other. That's not so surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we're probably disagreeing, because I think you and I agree Jesus gave us one church. But I think that the church, it's not just everybody who believes in Jesus, because the church has got to have leaders in it. You know, when Jesus founded the church in the first century, the leaders, they were the apostles. People will go to them and say, what do we believe? What are we supposed to do? But the apostles, their authority didn't die out with them. I truly believe that their authority continues to this day in their successors. Otherwise, you've just got, well, we all read the Bible and figure out what it means, even though we all think differently about it. But how can that be? Like, the Spirit is not going to lead us all to the wrong answers. I don't think the Spirit wants us to figure out God's truth in that way. So stay on the line, and I want to send you my book, Why We're Catholic. Give it a read. I wrote it for anybody to enjoy. I think you'll like it. Stay on the line. We'll give you Why We're Catholic, and then I want you to call back if you have questions on it, all right? So thank you for calling in, and God bless you, Lawrence. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Lawrence. We always like it when you call. We're basically asking for anyone who's not a Catholic, if they want to call and tell us why they're not a Catholic, we'd love to have that conversation with you. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. Now we go down to Texas. Listening on EWTN Radio is Ken in Texas. Ken, you there with us?
I'm here.
And why are you not a Catholic, Ken?
They won't let me.
They won't? What a...
No. Because I'm supposed to get my first marriage annulled.
Okay, Ken, tell me a little bit what you're going
through. Let's just assume with that, because I won't go through all the questions. I won't go through them contacting my ex-wife and all people like that. I won't have them go through this Inquisition thing. So let's just assume my first marriage can't be annulled. So can we assume that?
Okay, so...
I can't be Catholic.
Ken, hold on a minute. Let me just try to walk through this a little bit. So are you... you were previously married, and now you're divorced.
Yeah. Over 40 years ago. I'm on my second marriage for 25 years to a woman who's more or less a Catholic. She was, you know, but she's not getting her first marriage annulled either. It's her second marriage.
So you don't feel, Ken, that you're welcome in the Catholic Church, or you don't feel that?
Yes, I can go. I can go to Mass and everything. I just can't be a member. I can't go. I can't take communion or go to confession. I can attend, and I can go up during the communion thing and get blessed.
A blessing.
So, yeah, I can do that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Ken, why do you think that is the case? Like, what reason is there for you to not receive communion?
Because I'm not Catholic. They won't let me, right?
Right, but if you were to become Catholic and not have your marriage annulled,
apparently.
Right. Right. That's the question I want to get to, like the reason. Because I could understand your frustration if it was just bureaucratic.
I'm 68 years old. My marriage this was over 40 years ago. Neither one of us was Catholics. We didn't know the rules. And I'm not having the church go and knock on her door, call her up and say, ask you some questions about why marriage should be annulled. Not doing it.
Okay. Ken, here's
why,
the problem.
Why should we bother people from 40 years ago? No.
Well, 40 years ago, you were an adult. You were able to make decisions.
Yeah. This is the reason, Ken, because Jesus said, if a person divorces, in Mark chapter 10, he says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. Okay, so that's Mark 10:11. That's not me. That's not the Pope. That's Jesus saying that. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And now my question for you is, can a unrepentant adulterer go to heaven?
I can repent.
Right. So repenting would mean, though, you wouldn't.
I regret it.
Engage.
I'm not. I would never do it again.
But in fairness to Ken, has someone told you that you absolutely have to contact your previous spouse? Because there may be instances where you don't have to do that.
I can't trust them not to do that because they said they would, or maybe that's usually what's done.
But you feel like there's a grave reason not to.
Well, Ken, let me, what kind of terms are you on with your ex-wife?
Okay. We don't hardly ever talk or anything, but
no big beef.
No big beef.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, why don't you just ask her what she thinks? Like, hey, if they called you, I know that I'm trying to figure all this out. Sometimes it could be intrusive. Why don't you ask her? Maybe she'll say, you know, that's fine. I understand the church's got to do what the church's got to do.
Yeah.
You can just ask her.
I just want them to interview me and me alone. They can ask me anything. I can tell them, you know.
Yeah. But
that's it. They're not talking to anybody else from 40 years ago. I'll tell them anything they want to know as truthfully as I possibly can, but nobody else is getting involved.
Okay.
That's
my
turn.
So the reason, though, I sense a little bit of anger and frustration in your voice. Is it because you're concerned about your ex-wife? You don't want her bothered by all of this?
I don't want her bothered. Or anybody else who's still alive from back then bothered? No.
Well, Ken, just because Trent has not, but I have worked inside of a diocese. And generally speaking, the people in the tribunal in the diocese see their work as a ministry. They don't see it as they want to sit in judgment on other people. They just see it as a ministry. So if you had a conversation with the tribunal and said, look, here's what I'd like to do because I would like to receive the sacraments in the Catholic Church. Can we do this under these conditions? It might be a negotiation or it might be, you know, you'd have to talk to them and work things out. But I don't think that they would treat you dismissively. because in general, they're ministers of the church who want to be helpful.
Yeah, Ken, it would be like if you went to a doctor and the doctor said, hey, I'm worried you might have cancer. I'm not sure, but I really need to talk to your parents or any living relative you have, even if it's from a long time ago, to try to rule out to help you. I mean, that's the thing with the annulments and all that stuff. Like, people often think of it as like, hey, like it's a court of law, like somebody wins, someone loses. But it's not an adversarial system. It's more like, let's just try to get all the facts and figure out what's going on here so we can be faithful to Jesus Christ. That's just what the tribunal wants to do. And I think if you let them know that, they can work with you. But if they need to talk to people, it is really important for them. Like, they're saying, look, Jesus has given us this command. Like, being married, if you've already been married before, that entails adultery if you're sexually active. But if the marriage wasn't valid and you said, hey, we were young, we didn't know things, that seems to point towards direction it might not have been. I don't know. But I think having a sense of humility, and sometimes, yeah, it's not nice to bring up the past sometimes. But in doing that, you've got an eternal future ahead of you to think about too. So I just want to let you know, Ken, that yeah, God loves you, Jesus loves you, the church loves you, even if sometimes the people who work for the church can be a little bureaucratic. I've dealt with that. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But we'd like to help you to be in full union with the church. You and your spouse can receive the sacraments, go to heaven. I'd like to see that. And so I'm hoping that, you know, you can keep listening and work with the church. Call us back if you hit a speed bump. That's just how I'm feeling. I mean, does that make sense?
Through catechism again this fall, because I missed a lot because of the stupid COVID shutdowns, which now we know that did more harm than good. But
area.
Well, maybe
so I have to go through. I'm going to go through catechism again. I'm going to try to go to mass and everything, and you know, I can go to mass and not be a member of the Catholic Church. I said I could do that.
Well, when you go to mass, Ken, and here I tell you what, give the call screen your email. I like to send you two things. We'll get your email or your contact info. I want to send you my book, Why We're Catholic. Well, actually, in Why We're Catholic, I'll try to have them find it before they send it to you. There's a little prayer in there called a spiritual communion. It's for people to pray if, for one reason or another, they can't receive the Eucharist. It's a prayer the saints have said to draw near to Jesus in the Mass and they can't receive the Eucharist. So it's in there. So I'd like to send that to you. Let's just get your info. We'll send it. And I'm grateful that you're going to give it a shot and go and check out catechism and go to your church. And I'll ask our listeners to pray for you that everything, you know, just gets sorted out. And I think it will get sorted out for the glory of God. All right. So thanks for calling. Give the call screen your info, and then we'll send you all that, all right?
Thanks very, very much, Ken. I hope that you find, I mean, I do agree with you, Trent. I mean, you never know. You run into some people who are just very bureaucratically minded, and that
oh,
is...
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, I did an episode of my podcast last week. I think I told you about this, about what to do when people in the church irritate you. And this was somebody at a church who said that my parents, who are not Catholic, had to be registered parishioners before a priest would witness signing an affidavit saying I'd never been married before. Like, I figured they could just go to the church and get done in 5 minutes. And right. They're like, oh, they have to register. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's irritating. But the thing is, the things we love most in life find unique ways to irritate us. But we love them. And we care about them so much, it wouldn't be as irritating. Like when I drive to McDonald's to get my order wrong, I'm not like, I hate McDonald's, I hate this. It's like, oh, this is frustrating. But so when you don't love something a lot and it irritates you, it's like, okay, whatever. But when something's important to you,
yeah,
that's why like our spouse and our kids and our relatives and our friends can really lift us up, really get under our skin. But that's a sign that it's Christ's church, that can happen with us even within the very church Jesus gave us. And the key there is to not allow the devil to use our frustrations to get us into sin.
Amen, brother. I really hope this works out for Ken. And Ken, I hope Ken will call us and tell us if he does reach these obstacles. Maybe we can be helpful. You know, another option is always to write the bishop a letter and say, I'd just like to talk to you directly, bishop. But most bishops, I mean, you know, there are some of these mega dioceses where they might not be able to, but most bishops will meet with somebody who needs just help getting through that process. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more. Why aren't you Catholic? If you're not a Catholic, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you're not a Catholic, we got 2 hours for you today, starting off the week with only people who are not Catholic. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884 and tell us why you are not Catholic. We love having that conversation with you. This hour, Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers, here to have that conversation with you. Next hour will be Carla Broussard. So if you get on the line and we don't get to you this hour, don't worry. We're going to get to you the next hour. We would love to hear why you are not Catholic. 888-318-7884. Now we're going to Brooklyn. Keith in Brooklyn, listening on EWTN. We are very happy to have you, Keith. Why aren't you Catholic?
Good evening, sir. Keith from Brooklyn. I'm an Episcopalian. I was raised low church evangelical. I gravitated to high church Anglo-Catholic. I'm an Anglican or Episcopalian who is true to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. And when I was growing up, we got that training in confirmation class, and I'm sticking to it. The reason why I'm not a Roman Catholic, I love the people. I have fellowship with them. I've done business with them. I've carried the Catholic Charismatics on my bus to the shrine and everything. Great people. The reason why, though, I'm not a Roman Catholic is because I am happy in the Episcopal Church. I love to have my hymns on Sunday morning. I want to have all my hymn stanzas, not just two or three. I like the pomp and the ceremony on Sundays with procession and everything. And then also after that, we have lovely coffee hours.
Well, you're right. There are some Catholic hymns that I've never heard the later parts of. So I don't think you're wrong there. But what do you make of that, Trent?
Well, Keith, I think that when you make the phrase, well, we believe everything that Catholics do, but Episcopalian, you know, you attend an Episcopalian church, you identify as Anglo-Catholic, but there are certain, but what would be the difference between being Anglo-Catholic and just being Catholic? Because you'd agree they're not the same thing, right?
Yes, sir. That is true. However, one of my parishes is very, very, very conservative and very sturdy, and that's an Anglo-Catholic parish.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's under the Episcopalian Church, so
yes.
the priest at that parish, though, would not have the Catholic Church would not recognize them as having valid holy orders, like, say, an Eastern Orthodox priest.
That is correct.
Okay. So,
but
right
the,
there...
But the gentleman is...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, yes, no, his teaching and his fellow priests, they are very, very, very sturdy. They take no nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I appreciate that, because there are Episcopalians that have gone over the edge, and that's incredibly unfortunate. But for me, like, if we're trying to figure out what church to be a part of, I mentioned to another caller earlier in the show, I love reading the early church fathers. I did a show on my podcast recently on Ignatius of Antioch, and it was interesting. He was talking about celebrating the Eucharist in the early church, and his concern for his audience, he said, let there be one Eucharist and do nothing without your bishop. And so I think that while you're blessed to have a solid pastor, I think that's great. I think what God intended for us to have that kind of stability in the church is to give us the apostles and their successors. And I think even many Episcopalians and Anglicans you kind of agree with me there, don't accept that succession would be outside of the Catholic faith, have that union with the bishops, successors of the apostles, with the Pope, who provides unity for all of them. That's a concern for me, because without that, those successors, the communion that you celebrate on Sundays is not the real presence of Christ, because the priest doesn't have valid holy orders. So you wouldn't have the same sacramental validity. So when we start thinking about it more, I think you might have solid moral teaching, solid homilies, but sacramentally, there's some big differences there that I think deviate from what Christ and the apostles gave us. That would be one thought I would have for you to consider. The other, on a practical level, I just pulled up here. I don't see an Anglican ordinariate parish near you in Brooklyn. Closest one I see is, I think it's outside of Philadelphia. So maybe if we get your email address, love for you to see a traditional Latin mass or Anglican ordinariate would be very similar to how you worship now. We could say, I could send that information to you. So maybe we'll just get your info from the call screener, and we'll send that in my book. I'll send you the case for Catholicism, because I think a more in-depth read would be helpful for you.
Keith, are you familiar with this movement in the Catholic Church, the ordinariate of the chair of St. Peter? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And it's not something you're interested in?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
But you know what it is? I'd rather fight than switch, if you remember the old Tarryton cigarette commercials. You know something? We pray for the Pope every day. We don't forget him.
I didn't know that.
Yes, we do. We call his name. We call his name at morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, and Compline. We don't forget him, and it does my heart good.
But the problem is, you remember him. But the question is, did Christ intend for him to kind of be the spoke to give us unity amongst all of our other bishops and elders? Hebrews chapter 13, the author of the letter to Hebrews says, obey your elders. And of course, it's easy if we pick the elders, our leaders in the church, based on what we like, it's easy to obey. But I don't think that's not what the author of Hebrews intended. He wanted us to obey the leaders that God gave us. And it's great to recognize the Pope as a bishop, a servant of Christ, but to fail to recognize his crucial role to provide unity in the church. And actually, I'm going to actually have our call screener. We'll send you Pope Peter as well, because I think that's going to be the big difference, really, between being Catholic and Anglo-Catholic, is what is that precise role of the Pope? Carries on that same leadership function that Peter provided in the early church? I think that's crucial to have, so that your orthodoxy is not resting on just merely having a solid parish, because in Episcopalianism, it can go all for where, and you don't have the central authority that has the charisms of infallibility and apostolic succession to dial it back. So we'll get that to you, Keith, and I'm grateful you called. Everyone else on the line, my buddy Carlo will be next. He'll help you out real well.
Thanks, Keith. Enjoyed the conversation. If anybody wants to find out about the ordinariate of the chair of St. Peter, just put chair of St. Peter basically in your search engine, and you will find it. And it's a beautiful liturgy, the Anglican liturgy adapted for use among Catholics. Trent Horn, thanks. Really appreciate it.
All righty.
See you later in the week. I can't remember.
Tomorrow, I think.
Oh, okay. Hopefully see you tomorrow. All right. Carlo's next. Hey, if you're on the line, stay there. I'm going to be right back.